I just don't know how I got all this money. I was just sort of like acting, and then it's just always crazy I get paid this much, isn't it? They're always apologising for it.
Hey everyone, I'm Katie Traxton and you are listening to Anatomy of an Agency, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes to explain how the talent industry really works. In this episode, we are joined by Catherine Wright. Catherine is Managing Director at Sedulo, an accountancy firm that specializes in sports people and entertainers. There's a lot of jargon around money and investments, so we invited her on to demystify the industry and find out exactly what you and we should be doing. I started by asking her, what is the difference between an accountant and a wealth manager?
Accountants are a particular group of qualified people who are there to look after, in very simple terms, the stuff you need to keep you compliant. Oh, and bearing in mind, I meant to say this is, I'm talking here from a UK perspective, because I know you have a global listenership. So, but generally, I think it's similar in most countries. So, but this is just UK specific. So your accountant will look after generally all the stuff you need to file to make sure you're compliant as a basic minimum. So you sort of do need an accountant as a basic minimum as soon as you start earning your own income out of the PAYE employee system. So that could be your company accounts, your VAT returns, your personal tax returns. If you need additional services, they might do is your bookkeeping, stuff like that. But it's just the basic you need to keep yourself out of trouble, do all your filings. Your accountant should be doing a lot more than that basic minimum. They should be making sure that you're tax efficient and that you're planning for the future and that you're looking at the structure and the way that you're structured and stuff like that. But that's essentially the basic. A wealth manager or financial planner or independent financial planner, so you might hear the term IFA or just FA, financial advisor or wealth manager. It's all sort of the same thing. That's a completely different qualification. And they're essentially looking a bit more longer term. So they're looking at products like pensions, investments, ISAs, savings. They might also look at insurance products like medical insurance and things like that. But generally, they're a bit more looking at your assets, where they're placed and how they're sort of invested. And they're much more looking at your future life goals and your family's goals and where you want to be. Now, Pete, a lot of people, so you don't have to have a wealth manager or an IFA, but and a lot of people, especially the using the term wealth manager isn't great, because a lot of people think, well, I've not got that much wealth, so I don't need a wealth manager. But actually, everyone should be looking. I actually think it should be pretty much mandatory for most people, but everyone should have access to a wealth manager or to a financial advisor and to speak to them about it, because the small things you can put in place early on in your career which can have a huge impact down the line. It's also helpful if possible if your accountant and your IFA can be in the same firm, because your accountant's here looking at lots of stuff to do with your tax and what tax you're paying. And then your wealth manager, and the accountant isn't allowed to advise on pensions. So I'm a qualified accountant. I'm not allowed to say, Katie, let's look at what pension product you might want or whether you want one. I'm not qualified to do that. So your accountant's here messing about with your tax. Then you've got your wealth manager who might be in a separate firm for a lot of people. And that wealth manager will be looking at, say, pension products, which can have a huge impact on your personal tax situation. And for those two people, if they're in different firms, pretend to speak to each other, but they probably don't like to. They pretend they don't mind, but generally they don't like to and they find it's a pain. To have those two people in one team or in one firm where they can literally sit down together with you at the same time and bounce ideas off and talk about what's going on with you is helpful if possible, but it's not essential. So if you've got an accountant now and you're happy with them, great. But if you haven't got a financial advisor, then I advise you to try and find one and at least have a conversation, because your future, especially for any younger people out there, your future self when you start getting a bit older will absolutely thank you, because doing small things now can, one, save you a lot of tax now, but two, can make a huge difference to your future wealth.
But how do you find these people? I mean, because my route would have been, yeah, you ask mum and dad, you ask your friends, but If you're an elite athlete or you're a TV presenter, maybe you come from a long line of athletes and TV presenters, but probably not. So how do you find the one for you?
Yeah, it's a brilliant question. And people often say this, they say, do they need someone specialist? Because the most common thing, it's so weird, nearly, I'd say, it's so common to get people coming to us saying, oh, I think I need a more experienced accountant, probably from my industry, especially with sports and media. And they always say, I've been using my dad's brother's accountant, or my dad's, you know, friend's accountant, or his accountant, and it's always somehow related to their dad or some bloke they met.
I still use my dad's accountant.
Yeah, exactly. It's always related. I don't know why everyone uses their dad's accountant, and usually.
But I think mum found him, so.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. And we, I'm not going to. Do you want to go? Should we talk about your dad's accountant? And a shout out to your dad's accountant if he's listening, and I don't mean to be saying anything negative about him or any of my other colleagues. So there are about 100,000 accountancy practices in the UK, nearly 100,000 accountancy practices, and then a proportion of them will do sports and media. I'd say, one, yes, it is important to try and get one who's used to your industry, and we'll come on to some of the reasons why and a specific issue. So that's the first point. Don't get the recommendation off someone down the pub because they say it's great value. You'll end up losing money through tax inefficiency or fines or getting something wrong in the long term. So it's a false economy. Just get someone who knows what they're doing. I mean, it's obviously proportionate. So, you know, if you're a sole trader, you're just starting out, you're not going to go to Deloitte or one of the big four firms. So it has to be proportionate, but try and get somebody who knows what they're doing. I'd say by far the best way to do that is to get a recommendation. So if you are sports and media, get a recommendation from someone else you know who's got an accountant, who's in your industry, ideally maybe a little bit, if you're at the beginning of your career, who's got a bit more experience, or go to your agent or your manager, because they'll be looking after people and they will know, generally agents know who's got a good accountant and who's got a shit accountant, because they'll know just from interacting with them. So it's not just feedback they'll get from the talent they're looking after, they'll know from interacting with them. A good accountant should be in very regular contact with the agent, with the manager, with the lawyers, with the business manager, if they're not doing it in-house themselves. You know, so you will know. And then if you, as an agent, there might be a time when you've got to raise an invoice and it's overseas, but the work's happening different, and you're a bit like, well, what's the VAT treatment with this? Do you get that sometimes?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Withholding tax.
Withholding tax. Oh, what a nightmare. £8. Yeah, so often, prepare it so you'll know that you have to, there's prep you can do in advance to avoid withholding tax that needs to be sorted beforehand. There's always some forms to do. You might not be sure whether to put VAT on the invoice or not. There's other little things that pop up all the time. The agent, if you're comfortable going to that accountant as an agent, or if that accountant's responsive, you'll have a good sense there. So a good place to start for talent is to ask their agent or ask the manager, or at least ask for a recommendation of someone else. That's key. I mean, as a firm, we look after lots of different areas. So private clients slash sports and media is just one area of what we do. And we have a dedicated team who just look at that because they're all specialists. But we don't really heavily advertise that. We don't market it because we just rely on recommendations. And we're really fortunate that we get recommendations. So I think that's because, I'm not trying to say we're amazing, there are a lot of good accountants out there, but there aren't that many really who people would recommend. So
this is another interesting point. Without sounding like a cranky conspiracy theorist, mm-hmm. one of the challenges that some of the people listening have mm-hmm. are that their agents maybe yeah. want control over their finances and not to be totally transparent. So it would actually suit the agent yeah. to recommend an accountant who is someone they know. How, if you just want to make sure you're diversifying your yeah. risk and finding really independent professionals, could you go about finding yeah. someone?
That's a really good question. I was not going to dig into that because I feel uncomfortable almost slagging off other professionals, but I will do. So there's a couple of layers there. So there are a couple, I'm not going to name names, there are a couple of bigger agencies, very big ones, who actually have their own accountancy practices as well, because they've realised that that's another good business stream for them. When you go to them, they're almost insistent that you use their in-house accountancy firm, or sometimes less likely wealth management. That's not to say those are that's necessarily a bad option, but it's like anything, you need to shop around. And generally, they've got a very fixed market there. So they tend to, on the whole, be a bit more expensive than they need to be. So one, you need, no one can force you to go with a particular accountant, and your agent shouldn't be doing that. So firstly, ask that. The other thing, even if they haven't got it, it's quite rare to have in-house, but some of the bigger ones do. Quite a few agents, I know you don't, Katie, but quite a few agents have relationships with accountants or lawyers or any of the sort of professional services you might need around you, where if they make a referral of a client to them, of one of their talent to them, that they get a kickback.
Right.
Which, so we don't work with any.
How do we set that up?
Like that? Yes, no. You shouldn't do that because it's just not good for anyone, because you should be motivated to do the best thing for the time. Your life's going to be easy, and I know you wouldn't do that.
And you've got to be independent.
You've got to be independent. You've got to do what's best. You know, it's like in the way that you end up doing a lot more than just being an agent. You're a really important relationship. Accountants should be like that, or business managers. The accountant / wealth manager side, they should have that. They should be that complete, that real, just a cliche, but that real trusted advisor who they completely trust. So I would be very wary if your agent is trying to push you into an accountant. And I would say, but it might be completely legitimate though. So you don't have to be suspicious. They might just have a great accountant they work with. But I would certainly say, can I speak to some other people on the roster who use this accountant? I'd certainly make sure you meet that accountant first. I would ask the question directly and say, do you get a kickback from this? Because hopefully they would answer honestly, because that'll just help you frame it. And then don't be afraid to meet the accountant they've recommended and ask other people and meet another accountant and just recommend them. And then there's sort of certain things you should be asking them as well. That is a really good question though. You just need to be careful. There's a lot of bad people in the world.
It's really, really
And this
tricky.
Is much wider. We could go into this for all sorts of advisors that sit around people.
Well, so what that brings me on to one other thing I wanted to clarify: when we're looking at the picture of your accountant and your wealth management or financial advisor, you also, as a sports person or entertainer, will often have a special relationship with your bank, and they offer to give you some of the wealth management advice. Yeah. Is that an overlap or is that separate?
Another great question, Katie. You should do this podcasting for a living. So the key thing with financial advisor is that it should be independent. So if you're looking for an financial advisor, you need that eye in front of it. So generally, and again, this is not to say banks don't have good financial advisors, but if a bank has a financial advisor attached to it, then they can only sell their own products. So a financial advisor basically looks at the best product. So first they're looking at wrappers, so a pension wrapper or an ISA wrapper or a general investment account. They're choosing the best pot to put your money in. It's the best little structure to put it in. And there's a million different providers of that. Then on top of that, they're then choosing what to put in it. And that could generally, there's generally funds, but that'll be a load mix of lots of different assets. It could be passive or not. There's a lot of different things that could go in them, and they're choosing that. Now, an independent financial advisor will look at the whole world of funds, of which there are, I'm completely making this up, so I don't know, thousands, millions. There are loads of them globally. Whereas a bank is only selling its own product. So it's unlikely that that bank's products are going to be the best ones on the market for you. So I wouldn't go for a financial advisor attached to a bank specifically. I would make sure whoever you've got is independent, because you just need that wealth of choice. And it's the same with some wealth management firms who I won't name, but some of them are also fund managers. So again, they're only selling, you know, they're only selling their own funds because they have to. And they're not going to be advised. So just check the independence of your financial advisor and say, what products are you selling? What range? Am I limited? That's a really important question as well.
This is great. I should use this podcast more often for free consultancy.
Yeah, exactly. Please.
So when somebody does have the opportunity to meet an accountant, maybe they've got a short list of three people.
Yeah.
What should they be looking for from that person?
Yeah. I would say several things. So I'd say absolutely by far the most important thing is the relationship you have with them? Do you, it sounds weird, but it's such a personal thing talking. This is a long-term relationship, right? Especially if someone's at the beginning of the career. Hopefully that relationship is getting structured right now, but hopefully that relationship's going to last forever. And the bigger your career gets, and I know that all the talent you have will reach stellar heights because it's such good, so good at what you do. But, you know, the career's going to go up. That relationship is so important, will become more and more important in your life. So the first thing, especially on the wealth management side as well, because a good financial advisor understands everything about you and your future plans and your family's future plans, and will constantly check in to understand it. And that's not asking questions about numbers, it's asking questions about your general philosophy of life. So one, do you get on with them? Try and meet them in person. Two, are they explaining things in a way that you can understand? So it's really important for you, for everyone psychologically, that they get a good understanding of what's going on. And a lot of the stuff that accountants deal with is very technical, and the accountant really needs the skill of distilling it. So when you're speaking to that accountant, do you have a vague understanding of, or financial advisor, do you have an understanding of what they're saying? So that is absolutely critical, that personal relationship. I'd say as well, another thing to check is just check how they charge. So a big thing we get is clients often coming to us and they're like, oh, well, I agreed fees with my accountant, but they tend to charge by the hour. So every time I pick up the phone, or my agent picks up the phone, or my lawyer picks up the phone to the accountant, it seems I just end up getting these massive bills and I don't understand them. So check how they do it. So the way we would work is we agree, we try and work out exactly what the service will be, then we give a fixed fee up front. Right. And then we will meet probably at least once a year to say, okay, actually, you're calling us every day to ask us things, which is fine, that's what we've been doing, but actually you're taking the piss a little bit, and here's why. So you can either take the piss a bit less, or these are the things you don't need to ask us for, or you can ask someone else, or we're going to put your fee up a bit, what are you most comfortable with? But we'd have that conversation as we go along. We wouldn't just give them a bill. We would never increase a fee without having a conversation with some office. And if it is something really technical and weird where it needs to be an hourly rate because it's some complex advice around what entity intellectual property goes into or something, you know, we would say, okay, we'd give a very clear fee estimate and keep them up to date with that. But generally, fixed fees, we never charge to phone up, because we want... It's far better for us if either the agent or the talent are calling us up, or the lawyer in some cases, saying, can I just check this? Because we'd much rather answer that than you get it wrong. So it's going to be 10 times harder for us to unpick it if you don't look at withholding tax implications before, or you don't check a VAT point or something like that. Yeah. We want to have that engagement. So make sure you're not being charged by the minute like you would do with your lawyer, really. That's another key thing to look out for.
And what about if you're specifically a sports or entertainment person, what services or specialisms should you be looking for?
I think just experience in that area. So obviously it depends where you are in your career. So the thing, if you're just starting out, the key advice you would get is how to structure your entity. And this is not specialist to them necessarily, but if you're just starting out, should you be a sole trader? If you're like a music band, you might be an LLP. But otherwise, should it be a sole trader or should it be a limited company? That's the first decision to make. And then for sports and entertainment specifically, you need to be looking at things like expenses, especially at the beginning of career, people are generally obsessed with their expenses, what they can put through. And that is really important, but it's much wider than that. So, and there are some specialisms within that. So, for example, when you can and can't claim clothes or sports equipment that you're buying, or some of your wellness or haircuts or stuff like this, when you can and can't put that through. Same with dinners. There's particular things around influencers. People often get tripped up. If you're being gifted stuff, if you're being given stuff to essentially promote it, then there are tax implications around that people don't think of, because they're just like, I'm just getting free shit, so there's no tax here. But there are tax implications. Quite a few people end up with, sometimes people get paid in crypto. There's very, you have to really understand what's going on there as well. So I think at the beginning of your career, it's very much around understanding what you can and can't put through. If you're right at the beginning, you're not VAT registered, it's checking when will you trip over that, and that's where you use the agent. So with you, if it's someone who's just starting out, we're like, actually there's no point VAT registering them, let's just see if this gets off the ground. But then we'd say, okay, because we're not on them every day, we're not looking at everything, because they don't want to pay us to check every day whether they've hit the VAT threshold. We'll be like, okay, so you're raising the invoices, can we just keep checking in to make sure they don't breach the VAT threshold, because that's going to get us into trouble, and we'll just plan.
Well, and this is really important, because lots of non-specialist sports and entertainment accountants are used to people having regular incomes and being able to predict when that VAT threshold's going to come. Whereas what we find is, in sport and entertainment, you can be nowhere near, and 2 months later, you've hit it.
Exactly, and that's why I brought it up. The most common thing we get in terms of, well, the most in terms of people moving to us from their accountants, the first most common thing is non-responsiveness. So that's why it's my accountant just doesn't reply to me. The second most common thing is they've got themselves in a bit of a pickle because their accountant, no one's noticed, they haven't noticed, their agent hasn't noticed that they've breached the VAT threshold. So what happens, this is getting technical and boring now, but if you don't keep an eye on that and you don't register in time, then you could easily go twice over it. So you could go 100 grand over the VAT threshold, not notice. Then you find out you have to go back to the point of registration should be. So then for that 100 grand of invoices you sent out, you're suddenly reissuing all those invoices for VAT only, saying, oh, sorry, we forgot to put the VAT on, can we get it back? Because you've got to pay that VAT regardless of whether you've been charged it or not. Then it's working out with HMRC, dealing with the fines and yada yada. So it's all sortable, but it's really common in sports and especially sports for some reason, but sports and media, sports and entertainment, for that VAT threshold to happen to people at the beginning of careers. And then it's very easy to keep an eye on it and just make sure they're registered at the same time, that it's smooth, but it is a bit of an arse to untangle it all, and costly and a lot of work for everyone. And whether that's your accountant doing it or your agent doing it, we've had people who've missed it a lot. It's very common. We can work with you as well to put in really simple systems to keep a track on it. And if you have it, going back to your dad's accountant, who perhaps isn't quite as digitally up to date, what we typically do is, one, try and make sure that the talent has got a bank account just for that, even if they're sole trader, but a bank account they just use for that. Two, we have that link to our software, so at any point we can just jump. So we can't jump in and make a payment or take money out or anything, but we can jump in and see what's going on. That feeds through. So at any point we've got live access to what's going on, so we just at least keep a bit of an eye over it. But for VAT, it's the point of invoicing. So if the agent's doing all the invoices, we can make sure you've got a simple system to see when you're triggered. And it's within a rolling 12-month period. So people often think, oh, it's just this financial year. So they think it resets every April, but it's not. It's any rolling 12-month period.
And I think for anyone listening, to give some context, I personally haven't experienced a single non-sports and entertainment specialist accountant noticing at the right point when someone needs to become VAT registered. And that's then fallen to me as the agent, but it's very much not my job. Like, I'm not liable if I don't notice that. So that's a very flimsy basis on which to operate. So, but then coming to like the last question, what about once someone's a bit more established in their career? So let's say they're flying, they're earning all the money they want to be earning, they're so busy they wouldn't even have time to check in with anyone. What are the differences in how they should be set up then?
The more and more successful people get, the busier they get, the more complex it is. What they value the most is having as much of a one-stop shop as they can for generally financially things. So I think getting somewhere that operates, if you're at that level, getting a more agency style model, which is what we do for those sort of high level talent. So the way we work, you'd have an account manager, which might be someone like me, for example, so I'm a good generalist, but I'm not an expert in any of these fields, but I know enough to bring together all the different specialisms, and I know enough to understand, so I understand exactly what's going on with the client and their life, and they'll tell me any big life changes. And I'm a specialist enough to know when we need to raise stuff. So, for example, I would coordinate here, I'd get the international tax person, sort of bookkeeper, accountant, business management we do as well. When you hear the term business management, it used to be a bit more of an American term, but we use it here now. That means we're just a lot more involved in that day-to-day sort of finance side. So that might be making payments, doing your cash flow planning, doing contracting, all of that, just everything, almost being like a mini FD of your life or your companies. So we'd have business management, we have the wealth managers, we have in-house mortgage brokers. So for example, someone might say, okay, I want to buy a house abroad here. That sounds like a simple thing. I want to buy a house abroad, but to assemble a team of people at high level. So we get the tax person in to say, well, is this going to make us resident there? If the person's resident there, what are the issues around that? Two is, okay, are we able to get mortgage there if we need one? How do we raise the finance there? We'll need a separate funding team we've got in-house to look at that. Okay, so do we need some cash for that? Do we draw it out of this investment? What's going to happen if we take it out of the investment for that? We need the wealth manager. Then we need to go back and say, okay, we don't want to do that. So actually we can look at how much we declare in your tax return this year. If you have a little bit of flexibility with your dividends, then actually that's going to mean that it's going to accelerate your tax payment this year, but then you'll get the deposit you need for your mortgage. So that all sounds very complicated, which it is, but it's not really. All those people have different specialisms. That's why you can't get one person who covers everything. You need something where it'll bring everyone together to make those discussions, because they often touch around completely different qualifications and specialisms. So you need a central point of contact with someone who can coordinate those specialists, who knows you. And then it's just having people, so royalties is a massive issue. And we often pick people up as well where they've had really quite a good accountant, but they haven't been specialists in sports and media. And they've sort of been like, oh, we'll have a go at the royalties. The principle of royalties is not that complicated, but it is. It's just messy and it's hard and you need experience of it. And that could be royalties that you're due in globally. So making sure your royalties are being collected properly, because I'm sure you've got experience of this, but you can't assume that every single outlet that might be giving you royalties is going to do it perfectly and always remember to pay you on time.
You can't assume that anyone that needs to pay you something is ever going to pay you on time.
Exactly. But then also, you know, for a lot of musicians they have royalties because they might have their own record label or other thing. They have royalties that are due out. So it's often more of a problem where they come to us, the accountant's not got the head around the royalties that they've got to pay out, and then suddenly they've got a producer and other people all suing them because just they haven't got around to doing it. So things like royalties are very specialist. IP becomes really, intellectual property becomes, and how that structure becomes really important. This is getting very technical now, but so for example, a very high level boxer who might use his name, he might have a lot of income just attached from his name being used. If without structuring that IP, the income derived from that is related to his IP, which is in his personal name. But actually, would it be better if that IP is formalised and put in a corporate entity, so a corporate entity owns it, because that's taxed completely differently? Well, okay, we need to look at where he is going to be worldwide. And actually, he's very fluid and he travels. You don't know where he's going to end up. So where is it tied into his residency? Where is assets in the world? So it is. There's some general complex tax stuff that affects all sort of high net worths who are globally mobile, but that needs to be tied in some very specific stuff as well. And then in music industry, for example, there's sort of tour, you know, how to do management for tour account touring and stuff like that, and how to deal with tour managers and make sure they're supported to keep everything tidy and clean, and because that stuff like that goes out of control.
I think what I'm hearing is, if best case you don't want a headache and worst case you don't want to end up in prison, it's best to get some advice ASAP.
100%. Just speak to people. Nearly all, any good advisor will have a conversation with you up front about what you might need to think about. You're not going to be charged to speaking to someone up front saying, this is where I am, do I need something? So just speak to two or three different ones and go and say, this is where I am, what do I need? What do you think it roughly might cost? How do you charge? And do we get on? It's such a personal thing, talking to, no one ever comes in and says, do you know what? I'm really comfortable talking about money, and I'm really comfortable with the level of money I've got, and I'm really comfortable that I understand that I know what's going on. No one ever says that. People either come in and they'll say, especially when people have got quite, so they come in, if it's a pub, especially if it's a public figure who's quite well known, they come in, they'll either say, this is usually women, this is usually what the women say, women will say, I just don't know how I got all this money. I was just sort of like acting. And then it's just always crazy I get paid this much, isn't it? They're always apologising for it. And then on the other spectrum, it'll be, I know, usually men, often men, they're like, I know you think that I would have a lot more money, but, you know, as a divorce, and then I made this bad investment, and then yada yada, they're apologising the other way. But in reality, good financial advisors or all financial advisors account, is their job just to look at what's going on. People aren't judging. So you have to go in and you have to have that relationship is so important, and being able to, it's for your having the psychology of feeling comfortable that you're not going to go to prison, and that on one side, but also that your family and yourself and your future career looked after, especially sports people where, you know, there's potential to earn a huge amount of money, and then your career can, and then those earnings can just drop off very quickly. And it's so important to plan in that very short period to make sure you've got the longevity. And you need to be able to talk about where you are and what your aspirations are and what's important to you. And you can only do that with someone who you like and trust. Tearing up a bit here. I love all my clients, well, most of them. I love 90% of my clients, and I have very special relationships with them.
Well, it sounds like those clients are very lucky to have you, Catherine. That was a bit of a deep dive, but hopefully it's given you food for thought when planning your finances. It certainly has me. Join us again for next week's episode, and in the meantime, do get in touch. gvo@goodvibesonlytalent.com on email, or @goodvibesonlytalent on social media. That's all from me for now. Bye!